Hello, welcome everyone. All right. So the way that this evening is going to unfold is that we will start with a meditation practice together, and that'll be for about 25 minutes. And it'll be 25 minutes of a silent meditation practice and then 5 minutes of metta or loving kindness. And that will be followed by a short break and then a Dharma talk and an opportunity for us to stay together and discuss and share. So before we begin, I'll just give a brief introduction. My name is Michelle McClatchy. And I live in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I'm a guest teacher with the Flagstaff Insight Meditation Community. It's really truly an honor to be here. I work as a therapist. I have a private practice. I do one-on-one work with people. I facilitate retreats. And I also do integration work with folks who are going through big transformational journeys and need some support with actually applying that which they have been learning or been healing from and applying that into their everyday life. So you can find me at manymindfulmoments.com. And just to let you know, tonight's meditation is actually going to be a guided journey. I know for some people that it makes the process of meditation early a little bit easier. So for those of you who have a deep connection and practice to the silence, I encourage you to silence your microphone or your speaker where my voice is coming through. And maybe just set a little timer for yourself to open your eyes in 25 minutes. And for those of you who would like to participate in the guided meditation, then you're welcome to leave your speaker as is. Okay, well, without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and set my own timer right now. You're welcome just to take a moment to look around the room, orient yourself to where you are in the present moment. And even to do so in the process of beginning to let go. Let go of the labeling of names of things, and maybe just noticing the colors and the shapes and the textures. Maybe the light. And then allowing your eyes to softly close. You might notice the sensation, the restfulness of a closed eye. And also recognize that this is the opportunity to allow our seeing to turn within. As we drop into this present moment together as a community, opening our awareness now to the communication of our bodies, noticing how the body is positioned. Posture, Noticing points of contact where the body is meeting another surface. Perhaps it's a sensation of the soles of your feet meeting the ground. Or the cushion below your bottom. Hands where they're resting. The touch of your lips. Gazing over at your body, at the sensations that are presenting themselves. With the benevolent eye of mindfulness, non-judgment, willingness to be with the way things are. Even if it's uncomfortable in some way. Perhaps even welcoming in the curiosity of a child, or maybe a scientist, just noticing, what's here right now? Is there tension in this body? Where is that? Are there any other sensations? Butterflies in the belly, tightness of the skin, fabric of your clothing, the sense of that touching you, smells. What is your energy like in this moment? Your mood. Are there any emotions presenting themselves? Checking the weather of this present moment, just like we might if we were first stepping outside. Is it raining? Is the sun out? And with that same inquisitiveness, we might just open our awareness to the mind. Not necessarily to follow the stories that might be present. But rather to notice if there's a tone to the thinking. Or pace to the thoughts. Perhaps a theme, worrying, planning, just noticing what's here. And then tuning in to the breath. Am I holding my breath? Does it flow into my belly or stay in my shoulders? And then opening the awareness to your whole body all at once, from head to toe. And perhaps even sensing into the space that is around you. in front of you, behind you, and on each side. Perhaps even sensing into the space above you or below. Remembering that we can direct our attention where we want it to be. And now, having arrived in this present moment together, as a Sangha, as a community, open to whatever arises. We can also welcome in the kindness of relaxation. Perhaps that comes through moving the body, finding that comfortable position that you can stay in. We're taking a breath into the face and softening the muscles of the forehead and around the eyes. Exhaling out any tension. Perhaps it's through lowering the shoulders down from the ears. Relaxing the jaw. By taking a conscious, gentle, and deep breath, filling the lungs, feeling that expansiveness and spaciousness. With a long, slow exhale, allowing the rest of the body to soften, knowing that we are safe in this present moment. You're welcome now to allow your attention to simply rest on the flow of your breath. as it goes in and out of your body. Perhaps that's at the tip of your nose, or the movement of your chest. Allow your attention to simply follow the breath. Knowing that you're likely to be distracted by other sensations or thoughts. When this happens, you can simply say, thinking. Sensation. Just a little whisper of a label. And then just come right back to the breath. Remembering that it does not matter how many times this needs to happen. Rather, just celebrating that you were aware, you noticed that you drifted, and then coming back home. Home to the breath, or if that is not the anchor that you choose to focus on, perhaps it might just be the sensation of your hands in your lap or your feet on the floor. So now I'll allow us to rest in silence. Knowing that it's within the silence that we can find our peace. As Vincent van Gogh said, there is peace even in the storm. Noticing where your mind is now. Bringing it back to the breath. And in a moment, I'll ring a bell that signifies the end of this portion of the meditation as we shift into our loving kindness practice. You're welcome at this time to shift your body or move in a way that might help you feel more comfortable. Because it can be helpful in this practice to feel at ease in our body. You're even welcome to lay down if you like. Now we can begin to open our hearts. To cultivate the qualities of loving kindness. I like to do this practice with a hand over my heart as a reminder when I go about my day. And when I place a hand on my heart, it reminds me of these moments. Helps me to remember what's most important. Sharing generosity of spirit with ourselves and one another. Taking a moment to connect to the other people on this call. To the neighbors, perhaps nearby, or perhaps in distant and faraway places. Perhaps having a sense of all the other people around the world that are in this moment, sending you their loving kindness. You might imagine that underneath your heart is a soft light that's glowing. With each breath, it glows brighter so that it begins to fill your being. And then illuminates the space between you and others. So that we are all encompassed within your, our benevolent, loving, kind wishes. You might even imagine that we can radiate so bright, we can even include people that seem difficult to love. Remembering that we don't necessarily need to condone their actions, but we can set our hearts free through the practice of forgiveness when it feels right. And let us take this moment to send a wish out to all beings, to the plants, to the animals, to Mother Earth, that we all can experience happiness and peace, well-being, in our hearts and in our lives. May we all be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May we all blossom and shine. Ah. Right, dear ones. That went by so fast. Let's go longer. What do you think? Well, if any of you need to take a quick break, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and just begin the talk part of this evening. And maybe before I begin, are there any questions or comments? You're welcome. Okay, well, so if you're here on this call, you must be a little bit like me and not be as attuned to dressing up in a costume right now. I meant to warn you to go turn off your outside light before we started meditating so you don't get interrupted. Today's Halloween, a day of ghouls and goblins, and a day where we get to put on a costume and become someone else. Yes, Jeffrey, the thought of the children does bring joy to my heart too. It was so fun. I was out driving earlier, watching them down the street in all their little costumes. Yeah, and in the dressing up, you know, we get to be someone else. Maybe it's a superhero or a rock star or a famous actor or one of those characters that everybody has to guess who the heck you are. Oh, are you a three-legged man or, I don't know, a cupcake or a disco ball or like, what are you? Yeah, maybe it's the first female president. I dressed up as that one time. My friends were my Secret Service agents. You could be Mother Teresa. You could be Gandhi. You could be... really anything, right? With enough imagination and creativity, we could be anything we want. And I just think that's such a wonderful reminder, you know, that we get to create the life that we want. And, you know, maybe that's not through some identity or role, but instead it's that we get to decide what we pay attention to. We get to decide what we value, what stories we create and believe in, what perspective we see from. And I don't mean to say that we can actually control what life gives us. I think you guys know that that's going to happen. So I'm going to quote one of my favorite teachers a few times tonight, Howie Cohn. He talks about how the leading cause of old age, sickness, and death is being born. So there's no avoiding it, right? But we do get to choose how we relate to it. So tonight's talk is not about Halloween, but it is about a shift in perspective and opening our eyes to a new way of viewing the same thing. And in doing so, we get to allow ourselves to transform. So, as you likely know, the Buddha taught that so much of the root of our suffering comes from our attachment to our clinging, to wanting things to be a certain way, or not wanting things to be a certain way, to wanting things to stay the same. So here's a big one, wanting someone else to change. Not any of you guys have ever felt like that. And we get all tied up in knots, right, from all of this wanting. And it brings up frustration, disappointment, resentment, aggravation, anger, disappointment. Did I say disappointment? I sure did, yeah. Fear, right? Brings up fear. And then the Buddha also taught that there's a way to be free from this suffering. And part of that freedom comes from our awareness. So another really helpful tool that I learned from Howie are these two questions. And really, you can just use these two questions as you move throughout your day. Am I aware? What am I aware of? Am I aware? What am I aware of? You can just ask yourself that question right now. Am I aware? What am I aware of? In noticing our experience, that we can develop that sense of spaciousness. In the noticing, we step out of like, it's like this like tight fist of grasping. You could even try this right now with your own hands, squeezing them together. This is what clinging feels like. And then this is what letting go feels like. This is what awareness feels like. It's just that little bit of freedom, right? Nothing's really changed. We've just become aware. But in that spaciousness is where we also get to welcome in the qualities of the heart. Maybe some compassion or understanding or patience. We can kind of step back and see from another perspective when we're not caught in the grips of the storm. So I thought I would share with you a little bit about my own personal experience in these last couple of years. Some of you on the call actually familiar with this. But the last couple of years have been easily the most challenging of my whole life. I had a whole series of physical challenges, and over time became more and more debilitated. So, you know, previously I would spend my free time mountain biking and rock climbing and ice climbing. I've actually been on an adventure or two with one of the people on this call. And that was my life. That was what I did. And then over time, as my body changed, my ability to go do those things also changed. And I just needed to let go little by little all of these different things. So I basically have osteoarthritis. And so my hips decided to wear out. There's no more soft tissue between the bones. And so it basically resulted in the last few months, just really not being able to walk and having these calculations. And I would go to the grocery store, like, how close can I park? How quickly can I lean on a shopping cart? And is it worth it to go to that side of the store to get that thing? Because there's a pain factor in all of that. And with that pain, you know, where there was an isolation too, where I, you know, stopped visiting with my friends as much because I couldn't sit at the dinner table. I couldn't be comfortable in the home. And so there was like a withdrawal socially as well. And fear about my future. There was a lot of suffering. And along with that, there was this beautiful both and happening. So there was all of this pain. And then there was also all of these sweet, wonderful things happening. So because I wasn't going on all my adventures, I was able to show up, and actually I was able to engage with my community and my friends on a deeper level than I might have in the past. And they were able to show up for me. So I learned some really valuable lessons. I learned that I might not be able to go for a hike, but I could lay on the earth and feel the warm sunshine on my skin. And Mother Earth's heartbeat, listen to the birds, and slow myself down, and have that be enough to feel gratitude for that moment. I learned about surrendering and letting go. There was some kind of innate understanding that came from this practice that kicked in the gear for me. And a knowing that if I got really bent out of shape about what I couldn't do, which I still did that, don't get me wrong, that happened plenty. And, you know, I got to roll around in that for a while. And then there was a remembering that, you know what, you can choose, you know, what you focus on. And there's always something to be grateful for in every moment. You know, still breathing. Clear lungs that can breathe fully. The look in my dog's eyes in the morning. They're the best teachers, right? They're just like, oh my God, I love you so much. Life is amazing. Let's go outside. And I learned so much patience. patience. So I could go on and on. I have more lessons that I learned, but I want to pause for a second and just point out another one of these tools that we can welcome into our lives to help us with the suffering that comes. And that is this understanding that the adversity of life is a teacher. And sometimes when you're in it, you really don't want to hear somebody say that to you. But I think I see enough gray hair on the screen right now that I know there's a few of you that might understand this. And I just want to pause for a second and have you just maybe close your eyes and reflect back on your life, on some of those hard times. And remember, what did you learn from some of those times? How have you grown from going through that experience? Maybe just take a moment to notice how far you've come. We're always not enoughing, judging and criticizing ourselves. And it can be helpful sometimes just to reflect on the growth that we've experienced. Or perhaps what might be a helpful reflection is to think back on your life since you started to meditate. For some of you, the practice might be new. That's okay. I'm thinking, since I started to meditate, since I've welcomed mindfulness into my life, how has my life transformed? Maybe we can take a moment to celebrate that. Perhaps to have a sense of gratitude in our hearts for this precious practice, these teachings. They're like a best friend, right? Always there for us when we remember. And of course, recognizing how far we've come, how much we've learned, and that there's still so much more to go. It just goes deeper and deeper. And, you know, there's something to being able to accept that. Like, we don't really get anywhere, we just keep going. And there's always more learning to do. So I feel so blessed right now. I live in this country where medical care is so readily available where I have the wherewithal to pay for the treatments that I need. And I am now the bionic woman. I have two new hips this year. And it's amazing. It's really, truly amazing how much my life has transformed since the last surgery a few weeks ago. My world is completely different. And I have the exquisite gift of gratitude that comes from noticing what's not here, which is a whole other practice, right? Noticing that the pain is gone. And maybe that's a part of what you can be reflecting on over time as well. Before we started meditating, for instance, you know, what was our way of relating to life? What's no longer here? There's just so many lessons, you know. So one last thing I'll say about this process that I've gone through is that I'm grateful for the struggle. I wouldn't change a minute of it. And I know that it's shaped who I am. And it's opened my heart. It's allowed me to be so much more compassionate to the experience of other people. And it's allowed me to really, truly treasure this present moment, to not take things for granted, to remember that it's all impermanent, always changing, and to just, you know, stay right here, right now, as much as I can. And I'm speaking this to you as I remind myself, because boy, is it so easy to forget. So easy to forget. And that's really the beautiful gift of the Sangha, right? Is we can always hold space for each other. Hold this moment together. And so, you know, my hope is, you know, that this talk tonight is just a reminder for all of us that we have choice in how we perceive our life. And the cue that another perception might be of benefit is our suffering, right? Is our pain. And if we could just kind of step back for a second, step out of that tight fist of grasping and see it from another direction, we might realize, like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe this is here to teach me. And maybe this is helping to carve the beautiful being that I am, help me illuminate what I need to see about myself so that I can transform and grow. And maybe, just maybe, we might even learn to say thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And what a gift that is, right? To have gratitude in our heart. It's like medicine for our spirits. So some tools to walk away from tonight's talk with: am I aware? What am I aware of? And what is this teaching me? And then always remember, thank you. And then I thought I would just close with a familiar poem for many of you. Ancient wisdom still relevant today. From Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably, for they may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.